Today is a very special Sunday. Already we've celebrated Scouting Ministries. And seriously, guys, because today it is guys who are here representing us, we really are pleased to be able to share with you and the things that you do. Even the guys who don't look quite so young as the other ones. I see some pepper in the, you know, in the hair. Wasn't looking at you exactly, no, but... So glad to be a part of that. Today's also Valentine's Day again. If you get a chance to say to somebody special to you that they are special to you, that's your chance to do that. But today's also the first Sunday in this season of Lent. And that's a special time too. Now when you hear the word Lent, you don't always think of warm, fuzzy things because we think about all the somberness of what leads up through Lent to the cross where Jesus was crucified before we can ever get to the celebration of resurrection. And Lent is indeed a time when we spend time focusing, looking deep within to see our own need and our brokenness, to find out really who we are. It's one of those things that sometimes we don't focus on a lot because we think we know, or because we're afraid we're going to see who we are and may not like what we see. So we live kind of on the surface. But Lent's a time to delve into some introspection, to see who we are as a people in need of what God has given us. Broken, imperfect, sinful, people who stand in need. It's also a time when we look to see who God is in our lives as that one who not only created us, but knows us as who we are and has given to us exactly what we've needed because we are that broken people. He sent his son, Jesus the Christ, to live with us, to show us God's love, to die for us. We all die, but to die taking the responsibility of my choices, my wrong choices, my sin in my life, and taking that guilt from my back for me and for you in your lives. So we might be set free from that burden and be acceptable to God, to be invited into relationship with him as we choose to accept the invitation. Reminded clearly who God is in our lives as believers, as the church. It's also a time to focus on what our real purpose as the church is to be as we live our lives day by day. If there were not a real purpose, then why would we be here? If we were created by God to live in relationship with God and we chose to walk away from God, which we have done by all the choices of our lives, and then God has acted to bring us back into relationship through Jesus Christ, if that was the goal only, why do we remain? Because if God has fixed me and I live another day, I can only mess it up. You know? If that's all there is, God, when you fix me, then take me. There's a purpose for our lives as those who are made new. And that's because there are others like us who haven't yet heard that news of what God has already done. And so our purpose then is to live to be God's presence, God's voice in the lives of people around us. Lent is all of that, reminding ourselves who we are, reminding ourselves who God is in our lives, what God has done, and then reminding ourselves of our real purpose together. Over the next six Sundays, as we look at all these things in Lent, I'm inviting us to use the image of taking a walk. Because I think it speaks to more than just that putting one foot in front of the other, but it speaks to a lifestyle and who we're called to be and how we're called to live. For the authors who wrote in the scriptures, the image of walking meant much more than just the physical exercise. It meant their living, their conversation, and living out what they believed. We still have the same thing. When you hear somebody talk about walking the talk, it's living out what we claim to believe. As we come to this time together, I want to invite us to look at how we walk the talk. Now, as we begin this morning, as we set this series up, I want to think about what it takes to take a walk. You know, the different kinds of walks, aren't there? There are power walks, exercise walks. There are walks just to walk off supper. There are walks that are walks in the park to see nature. There are walks to take your animals out so they can find nature. There are walks when you walk with your sweetheart. This is Valentine's Day. There are walks that are walked with purpose. To be with someone, to come to a destination, we have to determine some of those things as we begin to talk about taking a walk. So there's some questions I think we have to answer. One of them is how do we walk? Another is where shall we walk? The third is when do we walk? Why do we walk? And through it all, who walks with us? When we answer those basic questions, we get a map. Helps guide us to our destination. And the answers we find determine our purpose, our progress, and our prize. Today's scripture, and other scriptures as well, we find our guide and answers to those questions. The first question of how do we walk? What kind of walk is it? How do we carry it out? The prophet Micah answers that as we heard our first scout read this morning. We're called to walk humbly with our God. He says we do this by living justly and loving mercy. We do it by remembering who we are, remembering we're broken people, forgiven by God, experiencing God's mercy. And as we have been forgiven, then we can see differently and realize that everybody else around us needs that same kind of forgiveness because they experience the same kind of brokenness. I don't know when you experienced and realized that you were imperfect. And not only was sometime growing up, sometime when you didn't have it all together and realized even though you've tried, you're never quite measuring where you want to be. That is an important moment in our lives. But there's another important moment, too, of realizing that nobody else is either. In my family, growing up, my parents were wonderful. Not because they told us they were, but because we always assumed they were. But when I became an adult, I finally realized at one point, as I watched them live their lives, they were just trying to do the best they could do, and they weren't perfect either. Do you know the pressure it took off of me? And the grace it allowed me to give to them when they didn't measure to what I thought they should in their ability to handle everything in their lives. We have important points along the way in our walk is realizing that we are in need of being forgiveness and realizing that everybody else around us is too. And so we're to walk loving mercy, Micah says. We're to walk in compassion, looking with the eyes of those who have been forgiven, to see in the lives of people around us their need as well. And as we walk that lifestyle, that connecting with, we walk with those who need our compassion, who are imperfect, who need forgiveness from God and sometimes from us. We walk loving justice. Being just, being fair. You know, there are some folks who misunderstand, and I would never suggest that as anybody who's a part of this congregation, but there are some folks who misunderstand that who we are as the church applies to us on Sunday. And what we do in our work lives, in our social lives, the other days of the week, isn't impacted by what we believe on Sunday. When we hear Micah say we are to walk justly, We're to live our lives fairly in every relationship, in every transaction that we take. We are to be offering the other person our respect. We're to be offering them in his transaction a product worth the cost. In the case of our lives together, my full attention when we're together, my full sense of love and compassion. We are called to walk humbly with our God. So I ask you, as we answer the first question, do you, on Mondays and Thursdays, not just Sundays, do you act fairly? Do you have compassion for other people? Are you walking humbly with your God? The second question that determines our walk as we consider taking that walk is, where shall we walk? And the second scripture read for us by one of our scouts this morning answers that in the book of 1 John, as he says we are to walk in the light as Jesus is in the light. We're called to walk where Jesus walks. And Jesus was always walking somewhere to meet someone's need and to bless them and to change their lives. And you read the different stories and it's almost all set up. And as he was on his way, or as he left Jerusalem, or as he entered into Galilee, or as he came into Jericho, Jesus was walking. Whether he was walking to a soldier's home, responding to the soldier's request that he met on the way to come to my house and to pray for and heal my daughter who's dying. Whether it was that response to the soldier's request, and while he was on the way, the woman reaches out and touches the hem of his robe and she finds healing as Jesus walked. Or whether he walks into a neighboring town to spend time with a greedy and immoral man and through their conversation invite him to live a life changed. Or when he walked to meet a woman despised by her neighbors for her reputation, and he chose to challenge those neighbors who seemed to be all too willing to judge her. When he chose not to judge her himself and says, neither do I judge you, you're forgiven, go and live a new life. Every time he walked, somebody's life was changed. When we walk where Jesus walked, when we walk in the light as he is in the light, we experience that same forgiveness, that same transformation, and we can be those who are instruments as we walk along the way for others to experience those things in their lives. When we walk where Jesus walked, we find belonging. We experience community. Last week, you heard Jill, as she preached, talking about connecting with other people in intimate circles, small groups, where we can know and be known by the people that we've come to love and to trust. And if you want to know more about that, she's available today in the library between or during the second and third services. When we walk where Jesus walked, while we may walk apart from a crowd, we never need to walk in abject loneliness. That is so much the experience of our culture, because we always walk with him. To do that, we have to walk where Jesus walked and walk toward those whom Jesus walked toward. That's bad grammar, I'm sorry, but that's clear enough, I hope, that way. To walk toward other people, to touch and share in their lives, that as they share with you, you share with them, you walk them to their healing. Their healing. But understand, Jesus also walked toward his cross. As we walk with him where he walked, we walk in fellowship, but we also walk in the real possibility that it's going to cost us something. Our third question as we prepare to walk is, in this walker's guide to the gospel, is why should we walk? Well, the very direct answer that nobody really likes in today's culture is we should walk because he told us to. You know, that's the kind of thing that no child wants to hear mom or dad say. Why? Because I'm the mommy. That's why. He told us to. We walk because Jesus tells us to walk with him, to follow him where he goes. He called the disciples to come and walk with him. Fishermen, a tax collector, ordinary people. And they did, and when they did, their lives were transformed. And as they did, others' lives were changed. But in calling them, Jesus also made it clear that walking with him wasn't all going to be sunshine and roses. You may remember that as he was walking one day, someone came up to him along the way and says, "I will follow you wherever you go." I said, "That's fine. But understand, if you do, your life's going to be different. I have nowhere to call my home. I have no luxuries in my life. And you can't go back. It's time to go forward." In the same walk, at least the way the writer puts it together, another says, "I will follow wherever you go, but let me first go home and say goodbye to my family." A third one comes and says, "I want to walk with you too, but let me first go home and bury my father, then I'll come." Saying, "Let me take care of my other obligations that are more appropriately important than walking with you." Jesus' answer was, "You can't look back. Anyone who puts his hand to the plow, who goes to work, who walks the path, and looks back instead of forward to the purpose, the prize, the goal that God sets forward, is not fit for service in the kingdom of God." That sounds harsh. But no other purpose is as higher priority than following that call for the sake of God's kingdom, because in doing that, lives are changed. I suggested during the Ash Wednesday service this week that one of the greatest temptations the church has fallen into today in trying to speak to modern culture is to try to offer a message that fixes what's wrong. How to be a better husband, how to be a better employer or employee, how to be a better citizen, how to be a better spouse, how to be a better parent, how to be a better whatever. And to fix all the problems so life is just better. You know, that really isn't the message of the gospel. And it isn't the purpose of the church. For you see, even those were all good things, and to be a better husband, I need to be, Scott, a better husband than I am. And to have a better family, I could have used that a long time ago when my kids were still growing up. But as important as those things have an end point. And there come a time when my roles will cease, and then there comes eternity. And the call of the kingdom is to talk about eternity. That when we stop needing to be better whatevers, we need to know that our relationship that makes us whole forever is strong. The gift of God's Son, Jesus the Christ. Do we ignore the better husband, better father? No, we don't. We say these things are a piece of who we become as we become those who walk justly and live compassionately in this relationship with God. And so as we spend this time in Lent, we ask the question, we walk. Why do we walk? We walk because God calls us to walk. We walk in a relationship that God calls us to experience so our lives are made whole. And as they're made whole, others are as well. The fourth question, as we consider taking a walk, is when should we walk? Well, throughout Scripture, the answer is a resounding now. We like to plan, and so we're going to do all the planning. We're going to start walking. Then the answer is now. There's no time to wait. When the man says, let me go home first and bury my father, Jesus says there's no time to wait. Those other things in our lives, as good as they are, important as they are, will be taken care of. And if you do them, you do them in this relationship. And so this is the prior. We become, if we go to work, we're still Christians as we work. If we go to play, we're still Christians as we play. If I take care of my family responsibilities, if I'm a Christian in this relationship, first and foremost, that becomes who identifies me. Jesus says, we walk now. Don't put it off. What God wants to do is so important, nothing else comes before it. Are you walking now toward the goal that God set before you? And there's no time to wait, but there's no need to wait. You know, it's not about paying dues before you can finally be set free to go, you know. You don't have to be this apprentice for a certain period of time before you're allowed to say anything in public. It's not about spending so many hours on the disciple simulator before you're qualified to take with your wings. It's more like the candle. When the candle is lit, it begins to give light immediately instead of waiting until it's half burned down. And now I'm ready to show light. As we become those who live in this relationship, as we experience being forgiven and made whole, as we walk in the light as Jesus is in the light, as we walk humbly with our God, loving compassion and justice, we shine. Others see and are drawn to that light, not to us and our light, but to God and His light. But maybe taking a walk seems intimidating. And you may wonder, isn't walking person to person to share the news inefficient? I mean, we live in a world when we can tap hundreds of thousands of people at a time with the internet, with Facebook, with Twitter. But there are some things, even in a high-tech world, that are best done person to person. One of the things I try to keep on reminding myself and teaching my staff is that electronic information is wonderful for tasks. It stinks at relationship. I can't see the expression on your face when I say something to you on the page or on the screen. I can't hear the inflection of your voice when you say something to me on the screen. I can't deal with sensitive things that are just done with zeros and ones. Relationship comes person to person. And as we are those who share this good news, and the good news is it's already been done, God's already done whatever has to be done to make them acceptable, we do it person by person by person. And God didn't wait until now. If it was a matter of reaching all those folks at one time, why didn't He come now? With the internet. He came because you have authority as a person with a story in a way that nobody else does. Studies have shown that in the attitudes of people, you have, I have, we have, each of us individually, more authority and opportunity to touch lives now than ever before. People value and give credit to our experiences and give it more weight than any book written for or about a remote God. They don't see the Holy Bible as being anything more than a great book that some people like, or the Quran, or anything else you would name. But if you tell them, as they see your life, that your candle is different than it used to be, tell them why. They're interested and they listen. We need to understand we have the opportunity that as we walk, we can offer hope. So how do we do it? And are we ready? Well, let's take a walk together with Christ and find out. Hope you'll join us next Sunday morning for part 2 of our walk during Lent.